What's up, Sid?
What's up, baby?
Yo, I'm so happy to have you on. Thanks for joining my new podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I can't remember the last time I've been interviewed.
Have you ever done a podcast?
Oh my God, I used to be a part of a radio show that I did for a couple of years. Yeah.
All right, we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I've known you for like 7 years now.
Yeah.
Like since 2016.
16.
Yeah, and yeah. For everybody that doesn't know, Sid, well, your first name is Cindy.
Cindy. Mm-hmm.
Cindy Tran, right?
Yes.
Is that how you say your last name? Mm-hmm. You're from Vietnam?
Yes. I'm American girl.
American.
I'm first generation born, but yes, I'm Vietnamese American.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. And I met you back in like 2016. You're one of the best DJs in
Stop.
The DC area. You are.
Stop
you are.
It.
And I met you through a friend. I think I started throwing my events back in 2016. And someone was like, you have to check out this DJ Sid. She's amazing. She would be great for your party.
I love that.
And that's when I reached out and we started working together like back.
Yes.
Back in 2016.
I remember that. When you were like, you're going to do Latin all night. And mind you, I was like, ooh, but I love Latin music.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of my best friends, Judy Bonilla. She's Honduran. And she put me on the reggaeton like early on.
Yeah.
In my high school days.
Oh, wow. But it wasn't as big as it is now. I mean, the Latin music is definitely like.
Yes. No, it's definitely a lot more international. It blew up from,
yeah.
You know, there was a, you know, in the mid 2000s, reggaeton was popping.
Yeah.
But as a DJ, it was funny to me because I love reggaeton. Like, that's my heart.
Yeah.
But as like my DJs that I'm around, they're like, oh, I'm so glad it's over with that phase. I'm over it. I'm like.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of DJs were talking a lot of shit.
Like back then or now?
I want to say probably towards the end of like in the 2010s. They were kind of like over it. And they were like.
And then look what happened.
Exactly. It came back around and I'm glad. So shout out to Bad Bunny.
No, Bad Bunny did that. Like a lot of people don't like him, but he made that kind of happen and,
yes.
and bring us back on top. Like I was watching the Oscars and now there's like Latin music, like even when they go on commercial break.
Yes.
Karol G is another one also that just has blown up the past year.
I love seeing that she's shining because she had her moment, right? Her breakup that she went through and she just came back.
I know. Well, I'm so glad. I mean, you're a fantastic DJ, and not being Latin, you play the music like you are a Latina, and people feel that. You know, people feel that. Like in the parties, they love you. They always ask about you, and they want to see you up there.
I like to say I'm honorary Latina.
Yeah.
Because you know, growing up, I had a lot of my a bunch of my best friends from high school were Salvadorian, and. You know, they always put me on some music and food.
You grew up here in Virginia?
Yeah, Northern Virginia.
Northern Virginia.
Falls Church.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your parents, let's back up. So your parents were born in Vietnam, both of them?
Yes. So my mom and my dad both came here during the Vietnam War as refugees.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. It was a really, my mom was 19 when she came here. I can't imagine leaving my home country at 19 pregnant.
So 19 pregnant with you. Married with your dad?
She was pregnant with my brother.
Oh, pregnant with your brother. Okay.
And then it was quite a journey for her to come here. But yeah, she came here with my dad and it was hard.
How did she choose Virginia? Like what?
It was actually, you know, that story is I think the first time I asked my mom what her trip was like coming to America.
Yeah.
And my mom has always been a strong woman. She separated from my dad when I was 5. And so I was raised by a single mom. And when I finally asked her when I was probably like 10 years ago, right? When I did some volunteering with an organization, you know, with refugee kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Mom, I need to know your story because these are what the kids are going through. And when she told me, she broke down. And when she left, my dad, she had a lot of gold. She brought gold with her.
Really?
And that's how they got to safety. So she had to basically buy her way to get on a boat with my dad. They had to get the fuel. Once they got on the river, they were on the Mekong Delta River, which is like the river that kind of runs down Vietnam. And it borders along like Cambodia and Thailand.
Okay.
They were in the river for like 9 days and nights. And
oh
she
my
was
God.
And she they just she was like, all I saw was water and sky. I didn't know, you know, what was happening. And they finally got to Thailand And when they finally got there, my dad was strategic about it, because he said that when they got to Thailand, because a lot of people were shooting and killing people that were on boats, like all the refugees, because they didn't want them to come over, right? But they had to pay their way into Thailand. And then finally, when they realized that my dad was fighting for the South, for South Vietnam, because the Vietnam War was North versus South, and paid their way through. But also before they got stopped by like pirates. So my dad had to hold, you know, a bunch of extra gold. Like he had his boxers on and he put it underneath, and they were patting everybody down for everything. And he was able to hide some, but they basically bought their way to America.
Oh my gosh.
And like when they finally got to Thailand and they went to Indonesia, where my mom gave birth to my brother, they found, you know, sponsorship to America, because my dad was fighting in the war for South Vietnam. And it was like a really intense.
That's heavy.
Because like imagine giving birth, you know, in a different country.
No.
And
I can't imagine that.
And just I can't.
Oh, and fleeing in survival mode. And I mean, you're pregnant. You're looking. I mean, no, I can't imagine that.
It's so traumatizing. And so when people talk about, you know, the border control and talk about what's happening in South America, Central America, and people coming over here, I feel for them, because we destabilize these countries for their resources and then give them nothing to survive off of, you know, and then you let the gangs take everything out of control, and, you know, you have nothing for your family. So people are fleeing, and I feel for them, because that's one thing I'm thankful for being American, right? Because we have the freedom. I have a very strong voice. I speak up on a lot of things. I wouldn't be able to do that if I was, you know, back at home, and who knows?
Or you wouldn't be alive.
Yeah. I mean, because a lot of people who fought for the South were killed.
Right.
Yeah.
And were your grandparents alive at this time?
Yes.
During this time?
Yeah. So it was crazy, because my grandfather, my mom's dad, when they were able to cross into Thailand, my mom had to write her signature. And when my grandfather finally got the letter, he was able to send more gold for my mom to make sure that they got to safety.
What? Like, you know, bricks of gold?
Yeah, bricks of gold.
That's insane.
Like bricks of gold.
Yeah.
And, you know, because if my mom didn't sign it, he would have been like, well, I don't think my mom's alive. So that was the only way he knew, was through her signature.
And they stayed back, your grandparents?
They stayed back. And they, you know, they passed away maybe about 10 in 2016, when my grandfather passed away, maybe a year or two before that. And then shortly after that, my grandmother. So they were around for quite some time, but I never had a chance to meet them.
Oh, you never met them, right?
I have a very big family in Vietnam. And every year that my mom went, she would always, all the extra money that she had, which was not much, she would send it back home.
Right.
And the times that she made enough money to go back home was always due to circumstance, like something had happened and she had to go back and handle things. She had 9 other siblings.
9.
And my dad.
Oh, yeah. Those were generations.
Yeah. So my dad had like 9 other siblings.
Wow.
So I had a huge family that I really didn't have a chance to meet. So I never got to meet my grandparents before they passed. That's why I love your relationship with your abuela. It's so special.
With abuela, yeah.
Yeah.
No, very fortunate to have her around.
Yeah.
And I totally understand, not growing up, you know, not being able to meet the family and all that. And a lot of immigrant families, a lot of people I've had on so far.
Yeah.
And we'll continue our first generation or immigrant families that are similar to us.
Yes.
You know, everybody has a story, and that's why I started this. And I didn't even know that about you. I just learned that after many, many years.
My mom is a force, and she is the reason why.
She lives with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't met her yet.
I love her. She's so supportive. And, you know, anytime I need her help to like help with the kids, I ask her, but I try not to overdo it because I don't want her to be overwhelmed. But my mom is amazing.
Is your dad alive?
He's around.
Okay.
It's an interesting relationship. I saw him, you know, he left when I was 5. I saw him once again when I was 12. And then he kind of disappeared. And then I saw him after I got married the first time. That's a whole other story. I don't know. Fuck him.
We'll skip the first marriage.
We'll skip that. So he came out for that. And then he, you know, we were still cool. And I kept in touch with him. I went down to Seattle to see him in Houston, because he was living in Houston and he lives in Seattle. And the funny thing is, he got mad at my brother My brother be shady, okay? I don't. Anyway, I love him anyway.
One brother, that's it, right?
Just one brother. He got mad at my brother, and then he blocked me. And I'm like, Mom, why did Dad block me if he's mad at John? And she was like, he'd be like that. I'm like, he's like, he'd be mad at everybody.
Oh my god!
When he gets mad at
so
one
he's
person.
Like there and but he's in Houston.
Well, right now he's in Seattle. He moved
to Seattle. Okay.
Yeah, but who knows where he could be?
Okay.
Yeah. my mom's
like a
wife.
Common denominator with that.
So yeah.
Whatever.
So it is.
And your brother's
is.
Where? Here in Northern Virginia.
He's here in Virginia. My mom was living with him the last few years. Like doing the most for him because he's the eldest, and that's her. Like if you had to have a favorite, you know, I always knew that he was her favorite and that's okay. You know what I mean? I just feel like with some kids and once you become a mom, you're like, okay, this child needs me more.
Right.
Like one is more independent, but one needs me more. So I have to put my energy and my time into this child
right.
to kind of, you know, rear them, make sure they're straight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was never really like mad at that. But I would be annoyed because I'm like, you're enabling certain behaviors, Mom, because you're babying him.
Right.
And because Dad was not around, he hasn't fully learned how to be a man that he needs to be. But yeah,
another
short story. That's basically what happened. Yeah.
Wow.
But we're still cool. We're
yeah.
still cool.
And you said your mom lives with you. And I know that only because one of my good friends went over your house recently. And she's
yes.
like, you have to go over to Sid's house. Like, I woke up at 6 a.m. The kids were there. Her mom was cooking, like making,
yes.
what was she making? Like pho or something?
She was making, like when she makes
egg rolls,
spring rolls, she makes like huge trays of them. And I'm like,
oh my
Mom,
God.
I could never lose weight. And I can't go back to being vegan when you're, because I was vegan for 5 years. I, you in my house with good Vietnamese food, I cannot ever
five
go back
years
to being vegan.
Vegan. Oh Ooh. My God. All right. But I want to get into the story of you having kids. But I met you and you were single. We used to
party.
We used to have many parties together.
Living it up.
And I think this is the first time we've actually sat down and talked.
Yes.
Not being at a bar.
No.
Because you're always like working
yes.
at the events.
I know. I
yeah.
know. Yes.
So back then we went out. I have to tell this story.
Please do.
Because I always thought you were like just a straight girl. And I don't know. I never asked like what
people
you were.
Assume that.
People
assume
that.
That I'm a straight girl.
And I never cared.
They always see me in a relationship with a man.
Yeah. You date a man, right? And one time I think, I don't know what happened, but I went back to your place, to your apartment. And I was like, hey, can I sleep over on your couch? I think I drank too much. I couldn't drive. Something like that.
Yeah.
This was like years ago. And I went and I stayed over.
At a studio.
At a studio apartment. And I stayed on the couch and Sid kept drinking and she had a friend over, which was a woman, but I didn't think anything of it.
She was a DJ that was visiting from out of town.
Sid's like, I have a friend. I have a friend coming over and I'm like, okay, whatever. Like,
yeah.
If I can crash on your couch, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So I crashed on your couch and it's like, I fall asleep and it's like 3 a.m. And I wake up and they're going at it on the bed behind me. They're like having sex right behind me. And I remember I sit up and I look behind me and I'm like,
woo.
I guess Sid's not straight. I don't know. Like, I guess, or she's having fun. I don't know. Whatever. And then the next day I remember I was like, oh, Sid. Okay. Okay. And then like a couple months later, you're like, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm so confused what's happening. But you got pregnant.
I'm so done.
But you got pregnant, and it seems to be, I mean, the best thing. You have how many kids now?
Two.
Two kids.
Yeah.
I haven't even met. How old are they?
Two and four.
And
yeah.
It's the same. The
same.
Your
same.
Boyfriend, husband?
Boyfriend.
Boyfriend. Okay.
Waiting. I'm waiting.
We've been together for how long now?
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, he knocked me up, and then.
And he knocked you up. That was like a.
And now we're stuck. Sorry.
But it worked out.
It did.
So you're one of the few that like started with seeing somebody that knocked you up, and it worked out, and now you're like, you're living together, you have a beautiful life with them.
It's funny how that happened, because summer of 2018, I went through a breakup, and, you know, I think you knew him. Yeah, you knew him.
Oh, yeah. Let's not even mention.
Yes.
Not worth the time.
So we broke up. 2 weeks later, I'm at ESL. You know, I was, if you guys don't know, 18th Street Lounge.
Yeah.
They reopened, but I was a resident there. And then it was my off night. Two of my girls were out. I'm dancing. And this guy walks up to me and, you know, he's like, hey, you want to get a drink? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I noticed that two of my girls were gone. I'm like, where are they? He had two of his boys, he was strategic about it, do a play where, like, each one of them were talking to the girl really? So he could come up and talk to me.
That's smart.
I was like, oh, you smooth.
He knew what he wanted. He's like, distract them.
I was like, let me find out. But, you know, we had great conversation. Like, we were dancing all, mind you, it was Latin night on a Thursday in the Latin room. We were dancing all night. And
by the way, you're a great dancer.
Thank you.
I'm going to put a video up here of you dancing at one of the events because you really dance.
I try.
You can dance.
I try. Thank you.
Yeah.
So he, you know, we ended up hooking up that night. I woke up and I felt a wall like on my bed and I'm like, there's no wall like this on my bed. I'm like, wait. And I looked over. I'm like, oh, it's a handsome black man. Hello. He just, like, you know, that morning he just woke up, no clothes on. It is a beautiful body just walking by. I was like, hello, okay. I might have got the jackpot today.
You're getting something right.
I was like, okay. And, you know, I was about to leave and not give him my number, name, nothing, right?
Really?
And then he was like, no, can I, you know, he was like, take your time. Let me get your number. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, cool.
Oh, mind you,
I'm not like that. I don't hook up. Don't do my one night stands like that. But if you do, ain't nobody mad at you. Do what you gotta do. You know what I'm saying? Just be safe about it.
So you gave him your number?
I gave him my number and we started texting each other. We go out for drinks, and we were hanging out for like a couple months, right? I think around October. You know, it was weird because basically, you know, when you just know there's other people in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was asked, I'm not mad at this because he was like, hey, I want to make it more serious. And I told him, I was like, to be honest, I'm not ready. Like, I went through a really bad breakup.
Yeah.
I'm still healing from this. And to be honest, if I was to be with you like that, I'd carry a lot of baggage. And I know that I need to get over this and heal.
Yeah. And how long was it after the first time that you met him?
When I told him that?
Yeah.
It was probably like 3 months.
Okay. So some time went by.
Yeah.
So 3 months, he was like, I'm ready to, like, go all in with you.
He said that maybe a little more, like probably a month in.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we were still hanging out, but then when I gave him that, I was like, I'm not ready. Then I felt the energy change. Like, I know there's other people in the picture. So, like, women do this, right? We're like, we're not ready. We're not ready to be with you, but you're still mine. Like, you're not supposed to see other people.
And then they go out with another, and you're like, no, you're mine.
And then you be in your feelings. So for me, instead to be in my feelings, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to let you do you, but I need to focus on healing and doing me. So I pushed him away intentionally. And, you know, I still had people on my roster. I wasn't hooking up with them. I had like 5 guys I was talking to, right? But he was the only person I was hooking up with. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, you know.
What was his roster like?
He had a couple of girls on his roster too.
I'm sure.
You know? And time went on, and by the time the new year rolled around, he texted me. But he was like the one I really wanted to be with because of our chemistry.
Right.
He was like my first pick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then next thing you know, he texts me. He's like, hey, let's go on a date. We always went drinking. We went to dive bars and like saw like little bands here and there and like went to Soto, you know, stuff like that. But we never had a proper date. So I never took him serious because I was like, I want a real date. So then he was like, okay, let's go to dinner. I was like, oh yeah, sure. It's a new year. Why not?
Yeah.
And
what year was this?
Going into 2019, the very beginning. Okay. The very, like January 9th, 2019. I know the date because that's when I conceived.
Oh, I thought it was the first night that you got pregnant.
No.
I don't know why. No. Okay.
It felt like that, but it's... That was like 6 months down the road. Yeah, so then I got pregnant, but I didn't know. I was in LA DJing, hanging out with my girls. Shout out to Sophia Lynn. I was at her crib. And my period was late.
Shock.
I'm like, damn. But it came. I texted him. I was like, hey, you just dodged a bullet. And he was like, oh, great. But my period it wasn't normal. It was like...
Right, it wasn't like spotting or something?
Yes, yeah. It wasn't a full-blown. And I was like, this is weird. So I took
the test. Wow, but you spotted. Why? That's...
It's weird how that happened, right? Okay.
I know nothing about, like, the process.
Well, I find out I'm pregnant.
Okay.
And I tell him, and I'm like, I'm sure you're really confused because I told you I wasn't, and now I am. I don't know. Like, I don't get pregnant all the time, so I don't know what's going on.
What was his reaction? Like, his first reaction?
Because I was 32 at the time, and I didn't think I could get pregnant. Because I was married once, and we tried and tried and tried. I was like, God's not letting me have a child. And so when I got pregnant, I was like, wow, I'm keeping this. You can be in the picture if you want to, but if you're not, like, this is God telling me, sending me a sign. I need to slow down and put my priorities in order. And he reacted so differently. It was like, this is great.
Wow.
And I was like, word.
Which is not a regular response.
No, it's not. Even if you were dating someone for a long time, like, I ain't ready. You better get that abortion.
Right, right.
Why didn't you pop that pill? Like, you didn't take that plan B?
Oh, my God.
You know, I loved the way he reacted. And, I mean, stuff happened. You know, he cheated on me at the very beginning of the relationship, like, while I was pregnant. Mm. That was hard. But because we are in a new relationship, right. And I'm like, we're trying to navigate this and you are being supportive. You know, it took time.
Oof, but that's, I mean, you were pregnant.
It was hard.
How did you get over that? Like, what'd you do?
It was hard because I moved out, right? Because we were living together when I was pregnant, and I moved out and I gave it some time and, you know, he apologized. And then I was like, okay, let's see, you know, what happens. At first, I was very adamant about him cutting her off. I was like, because she was a friend to him, right? When I got pregnant,
it's always the friends. Always the friends.
When I told him I was pregnant, he cut off everybody. He was like, "Hey, I gotta like handle this,"
right?
And she was one of those people, but she was still a friend to him, right? She was like, she kept sticking around. And when it finally happened, you know, and I was like, I need you to cut her off. And he was like, I can't, da, da, da. And I'm just like, are you serious? So I still see that they're communicating, right, or whatever. And I'm just like, but I know she's stalking my page.
They'll always stalk.
They're always stalking because she takes pictures and she sends it to him. Like, you're clearly watching my story, because if you're not watching my story, why are you sending him screenshots?
But that's still till, like, today?
No. It got to the point where she did it to herself, like, why he decided not to cut her off, because it got to the point where she was being so negative, not only to me, but, like, towards our son.
Oh.
And when it was that, he was just like, oh, hell no. Like, bye.
Right.
So she did that, not me. But at the end, I was like, you want that person to make that decision for themselves.
Of course.
Because
for themselves and for the family. I mean, it's not just him.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, I want you to want to not to talk to this person anymore. I don't want to have to force you to do it. Like, because if you force someone to do it,
they'll resent you. They'll resent you.
Yeah. They'll probably want to come back around and be cool with them again.
Yeah.
Like, you have to decide that.
Right.
So when he did, it gave me relief. And then there was, like, you know, then I finally was able to forgive him because I needed to know the intention of the cheating. Like, did you cheat because I'm not enough? Did you cheat because you are more deeply connected with this person?
Right.
Or did you
or
cheat?
Is it just sex?
Was it sex?
Right.
Because if it was just a sex, okay,
yeah,
like, I can get over it. But if it was, like, more than
connect,
that,
right.
I can't deal with that. Because then, like, if one day shit hits the fan with us, you're going to go running to her.
Right.
And if I know that, I don't waste my time.
Right.
Because I don't want to, I'm second to none. I want to know I'm your first and your only. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I felt that and I knew that, because I see the sacrifices he makes as a father. He wakes up when I was, you know, when I brought the baby home every night, he would always, like, be so supportive with the baby in the middle of the night. He'd be waking up. Sometimes he'll go downstairs to make the bottle. Like, it was very consistent. Aww. And he never complained about anything. He would just do it.
Wow. Is he still like that?
He's still like that.
Wow. And what about the family? So you guys, I mean,
Mom,
your families met when?
So I met his mom when I was pregnant, probably like 4 months in.
Okay.
You know?
And how was that?
It was her reaction at first was hard, right? Because you're like, this is your prized son. You've done so much to, like, ensure that he's successful and he's set up. And if you want him to marry someone, you want him to do it properly, right? So I can see that she felt this way. But when I met her, she started to open up, and she, like, I love her. And she, like, loves the kids, and his dad is amazing. They're with them every week. They see them, like, at least twice a week.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Ever since they've been born.
That's so cool. So you have, I mean, your mom and their parents. Yes.
I'm so thankful because I have best friends that have been married with kids for a very long time.
Right.
And, you know, their dynamics of the in-laws is very complicated. And I'm like, I'm glad that I don't have that.
Yeah. And they get along like him with your mom.
Yes.
Wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm so lucky.
That's beautiful. Are you going to have any more kids? Or are you done with?
We contemplate on maybe three. Maybe.
Maybe?
I would like a girl.
Because you're young. How old are you?
Girl. Time's ticking.
I know, but what?
37.
37.
I just turned 37.
Yeah, but you still have time. You know?
Yeah.
If you want more.
I think
Would you adopt? I feel like you're someone that would adopt.
I have always wanted to adopt.
Yeah.
Always.
I just hear the process is so difficult.
Really?
Yeah, to get, like, accepted. I mean, I'm talking shit. Like, it's from the movies that I've seen. Really? I don't know anybody that's adopted. But every time I watch a movie, it seems really complicated. I just saw one the other day.
Hollywood, get it together. I hope you're telling the real story of adoption, okay? Because if it was easy, all of us out here would be adopting, okay?
I mean, it should be. Not everybody could just not, like, go in and buy something.
Right.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it should be a very in-depth process, but I don't know. But I hear it's different. Every process is different. I mean, as a gay woman, you know, if I want kids, I don't want to carry. So every process is complicated.
Yes. Yes.
Honestly, whatever. If I really wanted to carry, I would just be like, go drink a little tequila.
That's what happened.
But I don't. So that's not going to happen. No, but that's really cool. I'm so happy for you. Like,
Thank you.
And to this day for us, you know, I took a long time off. Well, COVID happened and then everything stopped with the parties and the events. And then when I decided to start it back up and just this past August, I mean, you were the first person. I was like, Sid, is Sid still doing it? And like, I knew from social media you were still DJing, but I was so happy that you were still on board, like wanting to do it. And
I'm here for you. I was like, my girl's back. The community is back. I'm here for it.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're there. I mean, whenever I can have you, you're the first pick, obviously.
And the women
love to watch you. You're like the eye candy of everyone. But I hear it all the time because you get all into it. I remember one party that we had at one place. I turn around and you're like in just a bra, like DJ. And then another time she like comes off like the set and goes on the dance floor and you just dance. And people are like, whoa, like this DJ is amazing. The other time I see you like hop on the bar and the manager comes out like, get off the bar.
I was like, I'm not drunk. I promise you.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's cool. Purely, she's sober.
Purely sober me.
Yeah.
I will dance on a bar. Okay.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I love having you as a friend. And like, I feel like we need more
time.
Time like this.
Yes.
But it's hard. I mean, you have kids, you're busy.
We're on down the street now, so I'm gonna come over every day with my kids.
Yeah, you're close, and I wanna like the other day we were talking about the pho. I love pho.
I just had some before I came.
Yeah, and you said you make it.
Yes.
Right? And it takes you how long?
It takes like the prepping part is what takes the longest.
And then you just gotta hours?
It's like 6 to 12 hours, depending on if you really want. And a lot of it's just simmering, like simmering the bone in a broth, but it's like the preparation.
Will you make it for me?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We'll make a day out of it, like a nice Sunday fun.
Yes, we could do that.
Awesome.
Yes.
No, but I love having you on set. And your story, I mean, this is the first time, honestly, I've heard anything. Like, I got to know you a little more, and I feel like it's so impactful, like, what people go through. Everyone's story of coming through to the country, to America. And this is why, you know, we live here and we've been given this opportunity by our parents.
The sacrifice that they make, we are standing on the shoulders of giants and we have to remember that.
Yeah.
And the courage that it takes. And it gives you, you know, insight on how we need to respect people and their humanity. Like,
yeah. No, and you're an activist. I mean, I see you post all the time and speak up as much as you can and you use your platform, you know, for a lot of things that are going on in the world. And you do it often.
I try to keep myself grounded.
Yeah.
Like, because it matters. I feel like we don't talk about it enough. And I feel like me trying to at least bring to light what's happening shares some of that weight. when people don't.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. And a lot of people don't. You know?
It was hard for me because I feel like being so compassionate and wanting to create a world to make it a better place, or even having conversations with like my best friends about these things, and they look at me like I'm crazy. and for a little bit I was kind of mad because, you know, like the BLM movement or,
right,
you know, the Me Too movement or what's happening with, you know, transgender rights and LGBT rights. And I try to cover, you know, what was happening with Stop AAPI. And I try to highlight a little bit of everything and what's happening, especially if it's happening at a certain time. Because supporting even something that you're not technically a part of, you're like, that's not my community. Mm. But we are a community. We're all living together. Your child is going to play with my child. So who they are and how they're seen and how they feel about themselves in this world matters.
Yeah.
Because they are all interacting with each other.
Yeah.
You know? So it matters. And so people try to act like it doesn't.
No.
And they're just like in their own little world, in their own little box. And I struggled with that with my best friends because I'm like, I can't have these conversations with you. Like, I can't get...
Well, it's easier not to think about it, talk about it, feel... Right. Than it is to talk about it, because once you get into it and you start realizing what's happened, how people are treated, how inhumane, you know, everything is, the wars, the movements, everything. It takes people having to speak up to change, to make changes. And that's why we've gotten to where we are today. And, you know, a lot of people say now like that everyone's so sensitive and you can't talk about things and you can offend whoever. But like, you have to see how far we've come in the past decades where like we can actually talk about things and things are accepted and mental health is accepted and all these things that are important that back in like Abuela's generation, you know, in the 30s,
you would not talk about it.
I mean, gosh, you know, and it all still happened. Right. So I'm thankful for people that speak up. I've never been so open on social media. Just be like prior military and stuff. They ingrain in you like, don't talk, don't go to protests, don't do this, don't do that. Like you just stay neutral. Always, right? Yeah. So, like, that's kind of, like, my brain shifted. But when it comes to things that, like, in the immediate community, things that I can do like this that, like, can impact people. Like, I think not everyone shows or is outspoken. Like, everyone feels and projects and expresses differently. Yes. And I think we have to respect that. And some people do a lot in silence. Like, not everyone publicizes or goes on social media.
No, they go in.
Right. They go, like, internal, or some people that are, like, you know, silent donors or anonymous, they also do a lot of things. Not everyone likes to be in the public eye, and I get that.
Yes.
Because being in the public eye is like, it can bring a lot of danger as well, or a lot of things that you don't want for your family or yourself. So I get that too. But people like you, I mean, that are outspoken and in the public eye, like speaking your truth, and it, that makes a difference. You know, so.
Yeah, because I know that, right? Because a lot of people, they have families, they're married, their priorities are different. They're not focused on that. And I understand that. And I think I look at things with more compassion and understanding. So then like that anger that I had, that I was feeling towards my friends, like, why? It was like, okay, it comes to a place of understanding that people are in a different place.
Yeah.
And like you said, they express differently. So,
and acceptance. I mean, that's we're all different.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
so that's
What's on your shirt? Let's see the Obama.
Michelle Obama. I love her.
I love that.
It's March. It's Women's History Month. February was Black History Month, but Black History should be, you know, all the time. I just think she's an amazing woman. And, you know,
she is.
Unfortunately, she's not running for president, but that's okay. I'm not mad at that. You were in the White House as FLOTUS for 8 years, and that takes a toll. You see how those how the presidents be coming out at the end of the terms? They be just
they age like 30 years.
Yeah.
What's this necklace?
This is a mala. This is a mala bead. So this is for meditation. So I like you. You meditate. There's 118 beads, and there's like a little saying that I like to, like a mantra that I like to say every time I do it. You know, when I'm sitting there. And it kind of brings me calm.
Can you say the mantra?
So the one that I say is Om Mani Padmaham, which is like a Tibetan. Is it Tibetan or is it Sanskrit? It might be Sanskrit. And it just kind of gives you like a focus on like different dimensions and parts of your life, and try to really be aligned.
Right.
So I try to say that and
I love that. That.
And then this is my Buddhist necklace.
I love Buddhists.
And this is Kuan Yin or Kuan Am. And she's like, I would consider her like the mother of compassion. Like if you think of Mary, she's like the Buddhist version of Mary.
Aww.
And she reminds me a lot of my mom.
Yeah.
Like her strength and her compassion and her love for like the world and for humanity. So it like keeps me grounded.
I love that.
Yeah.
I really, really love that.
Yeah. Thank you.
So to leave this session that we've had that I've learned so much about you, like, I feel like it's beautiful to me.
Thank you.
What's like one message that you'd like to leave people with to remember you by? Like one, it could be anything.
I would say it would be like to love yourself, to really know yourself and know what matters to you. And be able to leave that imprint on the world. Because if something matters to you and you love yourself enough, that reflection will go out into the world. I feel like a lot of people right now have like a lot of self-hatred. And that reflects off in how they see and feel about other people. And I feel like that can go a long way.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on my new podcast here.
Of course, girl. I'm always here to support you. Yeah. So thank you for having me.
And if anyone needs a DJ in DC, or in DC, yeah,
sit. Anywhere in the world.
I'll put your Instagram and everything up. Yes, so hit her up. She's a fantastic DJ.
I love you. Thank you so much for having me.
Love you too.
You look. Hola, Natasha. She is coming through. Okay, let's go.
All right, Sid. Thank you.
All right.